Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is a podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from Grey Grungs to garish goblins. And today, we're talking about two beholderkin, the Gazers and the Gouchers.
Prepare yourselves.
I cast Fireball.
It's the year of the beholder.
It is the year of the beholder.
And behold, as we go over two different kinds of beholderkin.
Behold it!
The gazer and the gouger.
That's right.
One is a small floating pest that will babble incoherently at you and zap you with its eye beams until you get out of its territory.
Okay.
And the other is a biological weapon bred for the sole purpose of devouring true beholders.
Oh my god.
Neither are very nice.
No.
So let's head back to the Underdark and learn about more aberrations with far too many eyes, starting with the gazer.
Real quick question. Are any beholders nice?
Yeah, actually, there's one that I feel really bad for called the Spectator, where that probably is going to be the next one we do. They're like, they're nice in that, like, neutral beings are nice.
You know?
So, okay. And we'll get into it in that episode, but usually they are conjured into existence by a wizard and then, like, told to guard a place forever and never leave this room and don't talk to nobody because no one's ever going to come here because guess what? You're guarding this place. And so they go crazy waiting by themselves alone in dark places.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
poor guys. I was thinking of a beholder that just has two big strong arms and it's lowercase B-E, capital holder.
Let's get back to gazers.
Okay.
So gazers, also known as eyeballs, are tiny aberrant manifestations of beholder's dreams, usually born out of a beholder's feverish nightmare, in which its perception of scale and perspective is warped by its delirium. Thus, a gazer born from such a dream resembles a beholder who dreamed it into existence, but its body is only 8 inches wide instead of 10 feet wide, and has only 4 eye stalks instead of 10. Now, even though gazers are said to look essentially like tiny copies of their creator, most art that I've seen depicts them in a very particular look. The art that I've seen depicts them as having dramatically curved, downturned mouths with thick, greenish, yellowy, scaly skin, and its central eye has a specifically shaped pupil. It's almost like a plus symbol.
Oh, okay.
It's like a four. You know how
like sage mode?
Kind of like sage mode. It's like sage mode meets what's the other mode? The tailed like fox mode? Because... No, sage mode is when he goes frog.
Yeah,
and then that's when like the fox pupil goes over it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Naruto. It's when he unlocks both at the same time.
Yeah, that's like a plus sign.
Yeah, okay, it's kind of like this. I see.
So, oh, yeah, because sage mode is just like an oblong sideways.
Yeah, like a frog. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So regardless of their appearance, there is a second way for gazers to be created. They can also be created via a secret magical process known only by beholder mages and taught to their acolytes. A beholder mage is a beholder who tears out its center eye so that it can learn to use arcane arts. Because remember, the center eye has...
anti-magic.
Exactly. And they want to learn magic, so they tear out their own eye so that they can do magic.
So they can replace it with the Sharingan.
Yeah, sure, that. Oftentimes, beholder mages are like absolute abominations to other beholders. But everything is, so like it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do. They're going to think ill.
Of you, yes, yeah. Absolutely. So... Unlike many other kinds of beholderkin, who are born full of fear, resentment, and hatred towards their creators, gazers are born with nothing but pure adulation and devotion towards their beholder master. They follow their creator like a devoted, aggressive puppy, and sometimes small packs of these creatures patrol their master's lairs for vermin to kill and lone creatures to harass.
They're cute, but evil.
Yeah. Not very intelligent, with an abysmal 3 in that ability score.
Yikes, that's three more than a rock.
Two more than a rock. Well, you're right, it's 3 more than a rock, yeah. Gazers are incapable of speech in any language. But one thing they can do, to the great annoyance of everyone they meet, is approximate mimicking words and sentences in a high-pitched mocking manner. They can't talk, but they can piss you the fuck off. And they do so incessantly to the point of angering even the most patient and amicable of passerbys. Despite their near universal annoyingness, though, beholders tend to find their gazers to be quite amusing and tolerate their presence like spoiled pets.
I see.
They like gazers to the point of creating small tunnels throughout their lair for the small creatures to roam about freely. This is funny considering beholders tend to have an inexplicable character trait of liking literally no one but themselves.
This is kind of funny. Was a writer for this beholder like at the mall and they saw that person with their fucking dog in the suitcase or whatever?
Probably something all like right. that. I could see that. But yeah, these are basically the gazers' pets or children. They're little mini-me's, they like that, I guess. So, as one would expect, gazers are naturally mean creatures. Left to their own devices, they will prey on and bully any creature weaker than them that they come across. A wild gazer, one living separate from a beholder, is territorial, eats bugs and small animals, and is known for playing with its food. A lone gazer avoids picking fights with creatures that are medium or larger, but on rare occasion, gazers will gather in packs, and a whole pack of them might become brave enough to take on a larger prey. Even if they won't attack a medium or bigger creature on their own, it doesn't mean that they will cower from or be subservient to said creature. A single gazer might follow humanoids in its territory, noisily mimicking their speech and generally being a nuisance until they leave the area. But it flees if confronted by something it cannot kill.
Okay.
So they're just really annoying.
Really shitty langoliers.
Yeah. Really shitty langoliers. It is said that a gazer can't be tamed by anyone but its creator, except through the use of magic or by bonding with a spellcaster as a familiar. In fact, some beholders with wizard minions insist said minion take a gazer as a familiar because they can see through the eyes of these creatures and thus keep constant tabs on their untrusted humanoid slave.
Okay.
Spellcasters who are interested in unusual familiars find that gazers can be eager to serve someone who has magical power, especially those who make a point of bullying and harassing others. Though this is a not so easily harnessed creature. Gazers are difficult to control and tend to behave aggressively towards creatures smaller than itself and are known to randomly attack house pets, farm animals, and even children in towns unless its master is very strict with it. So
this is interesting.
Not a great choice, but also a hilarious choice.
Also, this kind of changes the way I view what a familiar is a little bit because I thought it was something that you breed from your own magic in a ritual. Like you create it on
the... it can be.
Well, like not always, right? So there are other ways like, to make familiars, I think I'm guessing.
Most of the time when we're talking about a familiar, we're talking about a creature that you formed a bond with. And usually like your find familiar is you're summoning a creature from somewhere. And then it's now before you and you've bonded with it magically.
I see. I've seen it depicted in other lots in other ways that are more like my idea of it was
right.
Like I made a magical being, it's made of magic.
Yeah.
But in other cases, it's like I summoned a being and I have a magical link with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I can do the familiar abilities with it, like see through it. And
exactly.
Stuff. Okay.
When it comes to things like gazers, though, this is kind of really specifically 5th edition wise with the warlock. Because remember, there's the Pact of the Chain. And when you take the Pact of the Chain, you get access to special familiars that are way more powerful than you normally can, which is like, I think, a sprite. A quasit, an imp, maybe a pseudo dragon. I think a pseudo dragon is another one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think it is.
In the Volo's Guide, they have the rules for a gazer. And a gazer is the perfect familiar for a Pact of the Chain, Great Old One pact. You know, whether it's beholder tied or not, it's like this is a weird being from the Far Realm. So there you go.
Cool, yeah. I know we've talked about like, you know, DJ Roomba or whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
Which for new people to the show.
It's a tiny, mini gelatinous cube.
Tiny cube, right? Yeah. We've talked about it as your familiar.
Yes, absolutely.
I was kind of like hand waved it like, that would be cool. It must be homebrew.
Right, exactly. So before we go over the creature stats, there's one bizarre tidbit that relates to gazers that I want to go over. And it involves a group of cultists called Ocular Adepts.
Ooh.
So as we've discussed before, we know that each beholder believes that it represents a state of true perfection and everything else is unworthy trash.
This is a Uchiha monster, analog.
I guess so. Well, among the desperate wastrels of decadent cities and debased explorers of the subterranean Underdark can be found some humanoids who agree with them. And who have entered into a pact with the beholder race in an attempt to achieve even a sliver of that perfection. The so-called Ocular Adepts, outcasts of their own society, have pledged their services to one or more eye tyrants and pledged their religious devotions to the alien entity known as the Great Mother, the deity matron of all beholders.
We're hitting a lot of Naruto things here.
The ocular adepts often lead cells of degenerate cultists and fancy themselves important in the schemes of their masters. Most beholders view them, though, as self-important pawns at best and mindless chattel at worst. During the ceremony in which a zealot becomes an ocular adept, a beholder surgeon cuts out the central eye of a gazer in its employ and places it into the partially disintegrated niche in the supplicant's forehead. A blasphemous incantation grants the eye functionality, opening new vistas of sight to the supplicant. Thereafter, the adept takes on a more detached alien demeanor as the vestiges of the dying gazer's personality taints his troubled mind. Surviving the ritual requires a hard body and spirit. So they tear the eye out of a gazer and put it in the forehead of this crazy person.
Just a guy that wants to be Tien.
So they're
a crazy person that wants this?
They're a cultist, right?
Okay.
Who's worked their way up to this trust level.
Yeah.
In this zealotry. And the beholder, who has this cult around them, decides to elevate this person to ocular adept. This beholder will take one of their gazers,
right,
which they're probably at this point making consciously rather than subconsciously.
Yeah,
tearing out its eye. That body dies, and then the eye goes into the head of the person, like a third eye in their forehead.
Right,
but like the consciousness of the gazer still exists within the eye itself, and so it's like a vestige of a personality, like not a full personality, but
it's going to affect you. Like its
personality is going to start bleeding with yours a little bit. It's going to change you drastically.
I want you to be like my little dog friend. Come here.
Yeah. But it makes these people super easy to control. So,
okay. Why would you have this over just the gazer?
Because the gazer is a yapping puppy. That can't do anything. This ocular adept can like infiltrate society and cause so chaos and cast spells and, you know.
Well, yeah, that makes me think.
Stab people.
So it's going to have to disguise self the eye away.
Sure. You're this is D&D, bro. Just wear a cowl.
Okay. I was wondering okay, well, there must be, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like this person.
Also, that you can build an army. You can build an army with these three eye guys.
You can. Yeah. And then, but you have to be careful because a carry-on crawler will come for all your gazers if you don't properly.
That's true. If you're not disposing of them properly.
If you don't dispose of them
properly.
Okay.
Any questions about gazers before you read the stat block for the guys?
I hate them.
Oh, you don't like them?
That's more of a statement. No, I like them. Like, I think in real life, if I, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, they'd be terrible.
The concept of them
with
the yapping puppy thing.
Yeah, no, they'd be horrible to be around, but I do love that they exist.
I like small dogs.
I don't like other people's
dogs.
Small dogs.
I like dogs in general.
Yeah.
I have bad things to say about specific small dogs that are loud. Yeah. Okay, I have the gazer stat block open. Cool. I don't have any more questions.
Cool.
So is when you're talking about the art that you've seen, I'm in Volos right now, art that you've seen is this art?
Typically? Yeah, across other editions, the art is extremely similar.
It's like a Creature of the Black Lagoon kind of looking thing.
Yeah.
Like with the lower teeth and the lower lip kind of the way they are.
Yeah.
Because these have less teeth than a standard beholder and less tentacles, according to this. I imagine there will be variations because the beholder is birthing them.
Well, no, they all have four eye stalks instead of 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's like a standard.
And they're all small. All
right. Well, I guess those are my questions. So we got the gazer is a tiny aberration of neutral evil. As long as it's evil, it don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Armor class 13. HP also 13 or 3d4 plus 6.
Yeah, it's a one hit kill.
It's got a 0 feet worth of speed, but it's got the flying 30 feet of hover.
Yeah, it just can't move along the ground.
Right. You could play some sick like 3D soccer with these things. So we got a strength of... Sorry, is it a big number? Small
number? It's big numbers.
Just tell me all the time.
Big. It's always big.
Okay, so big. Strength 3, dex 17. Yeah. No strength.
So dexterous, though. That's pretty impressive.
Negative strong. Very dex. Mm-hmm. 17 dex. Con, 14. Very con. Intelligence, 3.
Yeah.
We already said
it's
that.
It's about as strong as it is smart.
It is a flat 10 for wiseness, wisdom, and a 7 charisma.
Okay.
So we got...
A weak-willed, dumb, very physically unimpressive creature.
I almost said a dog breed name. Sorry. Hang on. saving throws, plus 2 to wisdom, plus 4 to perception, and plus 5 to stealth.
So they got a bit of wisdom to them.
Cannot be prone.
Well, can't. How could it be?
Can't prone, won't prone.
It's hover. can't, won't prone.
So, I mean, it can hit the wall probably with enough force, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. No languages, just yappy barking. Oh, sorry, I skipped the dark vision of 60 feet and mm-hmm. passive perception of 14. Mm. It's got a half challenge rating. You're only going to get 100 XP from this. Yeah. Never talk about XP on the show.
I haven't used XP since like my third session 10 years ago.
I don't know anybody that actually like calcs XP. Mm-hmm. I don't know like a ton of people that play this game, but like true. The people I do know that play this game, like in real life,
to be fair,
do not use XP.
A lot of the people you know that play this game learned from me, so there's that. But not all of them.
Well, I'm meeting a lot of people that did not learn from you. That do not use XP. Yeah. But that I don't know. Let us know in the comments below if you use XP. I'm interested to see who does and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. So we're down. What do we call these? The features? Like, it's above the actions, but...
You know. Yeah, those are features.
Okay, features. Yeah. I'm just going to start saying features. Aggressive.
That's quite the feature.
I didn't want to lead with the word aggressive. I want to be like, here are the things I'm about to read.
Yeah.
Okay, so aggressive. As a bonus action, the gazer can move up to its speed toward a hostile creature that it can see. I'm assuming it means it's flying.
Oh, it can't even control itself. It's just like it's on top of a thing the second it sees movement.
Don't say the dog breed name.
Yeah.
Mimicry. The gazer can mimic simple sounds of speech it has heard in any language. A creature that hears the sounds can tell their imitations with a successful DC 10 wisdom insight check.
Yeah.
So they're not super good at them.
Yeah, they're not great. Well, 10's pretty low, but yeah, they're not super great at them.
Where are the lungs?
But once you... It's an aberration. It doesn't breathe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's... Okay.
Like, when it eats, where does that go? I don't know.
It just falls back out of its mouth. Okay, it's just done. A chew machine. It doesn't actually swallow.
It doesn't.
Yeah, like there's spit in here. Where is that? Okay, a glands. Okay, sure. Actions. We got a bite. Melee weapon attack plus 5 to hit with a reach of 5 feet on one target. It's going to do 1 piercing damage.
It's not even a roll.
No, it just says hit.
It just says hit, one damage.
So I guess that's cool.
You son of a bitch.
Like if a beholder, because if you're going to fight a beholder, you might fight like maybe 5 of these.
That would be
or so.
Very annoying.
Just doing.
To deal with.
One guy's got
to because they have I-beams. They're going to get annoying really quickly.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more left on the stat block. But they could just bite the shit out of you.
Yeah, that would be very annoying.
Eye rays. The gazer shoots 2 of the following magical eye rays at a random, and you reroll the duplicates, choosing 1 or 2 targets it can see within 60 feet of it. So I imagine these eye stalks are just like kind of darting around the room and they're firing at intermittent intervals or something like that. Yeah. Undiscerning. We got a dazing ray. The target, the targeted creature must succeed on a DC 12 wisdom saving throw or be charmed until the start of the gazer's next turn. While the target is charmed in this way, its speed is halved and it has disadvantage on attack rolls. 2, the fear ray.
I just thought of how the mystery beam could have worked in from the last episode.
Ah, damn it.
Oh, it would have been more of a secret beam. Hold on. Sorry, guys. Pause. Secret beam, last episode. It could have been a beam that hits you, and now the beholder knows one of your secrets.
Okay.
All right, go back to the gazer.
It's just such a, like, if you don't listen to the end of our episodes,
you don't know what I'm talking about. That's true.
We are building a beholder because this is the year of the beholder. I'm
sure most people listening know.
Could be their first epi, though.
That's true.
And if
it just hit me and I'm disappointed in myself.
This is going to be a little confusing, but on non-beholder episodes this year, we are building a beholder.
Yes.
This episode at the end, you're going to get a random fact. Stay tuned to the end of the episode and we call it the long rest. You're going to like it. Okay, so the fear ray. Also, I do like the beam.
Yeah, so, thank you. Thank you.
We'll talk about it. So we got did I say the fear ray? Targeted creature must succeed a DC 12 wisdom saving throw or be frightened until the start of the gazer's next turn, which is cool. A frost ray. The targeted creature must succeed a DC 12 dexterity saving throw or take 10 or 3d6 cold damage. A telekinetic ray. If the target is a creature that is medium or smaller, it must succeed on a DC 12 strength saving throw or be moved up to 30 feet directly away from the gazer. Okay, that's cool. If the target is an object weighing 10 pounds or less that it isn't being worn or carried, the gazer moves it up to 30 feet in any direction. The gazer can also exert fine control on objects with this ray, such as manipulating a simple tool or opening a container or pulling the pin on the grenade on your belt. So that's just like the telekinesis spell, pretty much.
Yeah, or a little bit like Mage Hand, but yeah. Is that all? Is all 4?
That's the stat block.
So what it was dazing, fear, was it frost?
Frost and telekinesis.
That's pretty cool. So yeah, they get a lot more formidable at range. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, so I've got four beams, five people fighting. Uh-huh. What are you going to do? You roll a D10 if there's five people fighting? Like, to assign the random, because you're going to fire on randoms.
Yeah, we roll a D10.
Okay, yeah, a D10. So for six, you'd roll a D6. You can figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. So for five players, it's one and two is Bob, three and four is
Todd.
Yeah,
yeah.
So on and so forth.
Five and six, Bob, Todd.
Stupid. Is that the stat block?
Yep.
Let's take a short rest.
Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga,
a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me. And set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Indeed, we have.
Back at it again, goddammit, to Gonzo.
And we're back with another Beholderkin. Mm-hmm. This one, the Gouger. Now, the Gouger is not available in a 5th edition sense. Like, there's no stat block for it. As a matter of fact, looks like this thing was made in 3rd edition and then forgot about, but it's pretty cool, and it's bizarre even by Beholderkin standards.
Okay.
So, it's also incredibly setting specific lore-wise to the Forgotten Realms setting.
Okay.
Which is, like I said, we're slowly becoming a FR podcast.
I know, we're learning so much about it, and we're so resistant to having the show be that, but, like...
I mean, it's making it easier for me in the long run. Like at the beginning of the show, I knew nothing about Forgotten Realms, just a lot about D&D in general. Mm-hmm. And now, like, yeah, we're slowly chipping away at it. And, like, now when people have questions about Forgotten Realms, I know most of the answers.
Yeah, I kind of have a good feel for it, especially since, like, I kind of loosely run a Patreon show we do in Forgotten Realms. So sometimes we go do Forgotten Realm-y things. Right. I got to read a little bit. Right. Like, oh, shit, okay. And some of the gods and stuff.
Right.
When you want a template for a god, sometimes you only can go to Forgotten Realms for specific things.
Yeah, sure. So, essentially, the Gouger is a biological weapon created by a subterranean aberrant species known as the Ferim.
Is that like P-H-A-E-R-I-M?
Yes.
Oh, wait, it's right here.
Yeah, with
I forgot with the second. What am I doing?
With a second M at the end, but you nailed it, man. You nailed it in one. Good job. The Ferrum, also known as magic rubs or thornbacks, are utterly bizarre Lovecraftian horrors with extremely high intelligence, a penchant for high-level spellcasting, and are absolutely evil.
Nice.
They essentially look like 10 to 12 foot tall sea anemones with a gaping circular maw at the center of their face, question mark?
Yuck.
They have four spindly arms with clawed hands at the end. Their slug-like body ends in a venomous hollow barb. They're absolutely hideous.
Evil dildo.
And when I say they are Lovecraftian in appearance, I'm referring more so to the lower alien species Lovecraft describes, such as the Elder Things or the great race of Yith, and not the inconceivable eldritch gods beyond the veil of our perception.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just when you say Lovecraftian, I think people tend to drift in that direction, understandably in that direction of like, that's what it means, but he did a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
So anyways, the Ferrum have vied for territory in the Underdark with the Beholders since ancient times, specifically with the Beholders of a city named Ul'Tul. Ul'Tul.
Yeah, I think you got it.
The city was once ruled by a Hive Queen, which is a type of like super beholder, but since has fallen to the Ferrum due to a trio of powerful spellcasters amongst their ranks known as the Triumvirate, getting the upper hand and taking the city. Most of the Beholder population was thus driven out of after the Triumvirate takeover, but over 1,200 were captured and transformed into Death Tyrants by the Ferrum Wizards, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
The Triumvirate, not satisfied with their victory, though, also took a group of captured Beholders and transformed them into Gougers in order to hunt down and kill any Beholders still in hiding or caught near the city.
Wow. Okay. This is cool.
It's pretty wild. Okay. So now let me describe to you what a Gouger is. Gougers look very similar to classic Beholders, but can be distinguished from true Beholders by their size, which is bulkier and whiter. They also have an unmistakably crazed appearance, with all 10 of their eye stalks, now devoid of magic by the whatever turned them into this, especially twitching in every direction, and their unhalting terrible screams preceding them wherever they go.
They just have like fucking 10 of those fucking those spaghetti used car dealership guys. Yeah.
Exactly. And they're constantly screaming.
Oh. What is it with the Beholders and all the noise? Like, we got the gibbering mouther, which is like...
We do. They're not...
Blobby.
Yeah, blobby eyeballed thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite.
No.
Yeah.
So there are two other horrifying new physical characteristics that differentiate them from their cousins. First being their legs. Gougers have four short limbs attached to the underside of their orb, made for ripping and tearing the eye stalks off their prey. So if you look at them, it's weird. It's like they look very much like they're designed to attack a Beholder from above.
Yeah.
With their arms dangling down and just start tearing.
I do have the image up and it is horrifying.
Yeah.
Is this it?
That's right. You see what I mean? Like those hands are ready to grab them eye stalks.
It almost looks like what's his face from Marvel? MODOK?
A little bit. There's more similarities than the
just because it has limbs. Like, yeah. I think all Beholders kind of look like MODOK.
So, secondly, the second characteristic that they have are their horrible tongues for which they get their name. Mm-hmm. Stretching as far as 15 feet from their body and sharply barbed, the Gouger's tongue is meant to pierce the eye of a Beholder, rendering its anti-magic cone useless and destroying their largest organ in the process.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's why they're called Gougers. Oh. Unlike its 10 eye stalks, which are magically useless, the Gouger's central eye retains a magical function, emitting the same anti-magic field as does a normal Beholder's eye.
Okay. So go ahead and keep that on there.
Yeah. So Gougers were bred by ancient enemies of the Beholders to turn the Eye Tyrant's power back against them. Gougers serve their original masters out of fear, but are unwilling to associate with any other creatures. They are ruthless carnivores. They rarely speak, but they can understand and shriek in common, undercommon, and the language of the Beholders. And unfortunately, that is the limit of the lore that was ever written about them. But I do find them terrifying and awesome.
I mean, that is pretty cool. They're like attack drones.
Yeah, like, basically, yeah.
Corrupted, they're bastardized.
They're not very stealthy. That's the one thing about them.
None of these Beholders are. I was thinking about that. Like, you know you're in a Beholder's lair, so why be quiet? Why be in your lair and quiet?
That's true.
And I was like,
they're just constantly screaming. Yeah, so they can't sneak. I'm sure they can stop screaming, but for the most part, they don't.
I'm sure they can if they wanted to, but they don't.
Whatever process turns them into whatever they are, they're probably deeply unhappy about it.
Yeah, they're probably still screaming from the day of their birth.
Exactly. That's exactly the right.
It's like, just one long, elongated fuck.
Exactly.
And if they switch up the language.
If you look at them, it's easy to see why.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean,
any questions about Gougers?
what the fuck? That's my only question.
Yeah, they're pretty wild. I'm sad that they weren't included with the Beholderkin and Volo's Guide. And well, I don't think they've been released in any module up till now. So I hope they do, though, because they're cool. And there's a lot of Beholderkin that we're going to talk about this year that don't have a 5e set block as of right now as we're talking. But I hope they do.
Well, like, this isn't like, do we have a Faerim thing like in 5e? Like,
is no, and that's one that I know.
That's probably why it wasn't released with Beholderkin, because this isn't like,
it's tied in very, it's very, very, very specific. Like a specific city in a specific setting, a very specific race. Like, yeah, it's.
And to call it a Beholderkin, I wouldn't say it's a. It's kind of stretching it a little bit, I think.
Beholderkin just means it's related to beholders.
Yeah, yeah. I get that, but
like, it was a beholder, it was. And now it is something else.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's being used. It's very not beholdery. It's very anti-beholdery in a way. I mean, like,
it's a beholder it's slayer made to for
kill
sure.
Beholders.
Yeah,
and then what? Like, all the beholders are gone, and then the Faerim like eats all these or kills them. Or
to be fair, like there's probably very limited amount of gougers that were ever made. Again, it was made by
You mostly made the Death Tyrants, which are cool,
which are scary as hell, and actually way more effective than gougers. The gougers seem like something they did just for perverse like fun, of like look at us torture and manipulate this thing into an even worse thing than it was before.
Yeah,
and guess what? It specializes killing the things that it was.
Yeah, they got a directive like make 1,200 of the Death Tyrant. It's like, what do I do with the rest of these? Whatever you want.
Exactly. That's okay. Exactly right.
All right. So, that's cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, in that case, I think we can get ready for a long rest.
Yep. I know the feature.
Let's do it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the long rest. We did a Beholder episode. It was all Beholder all the way down.
It was.
So we don't do build the Beholder. We're taking a breather. Mm-hmm. Instead, I give you a fun fact about Beholders. Now, not only can the Gazer learn and imitate sounds of other animals, it can also copy different environmental sounds, including, you know, human speech. This is because of the thickness of the tongue and the way they position their mouth. So that whole bit about not needing lungs, they really don't.
God, okay. That's a good one. I like that one.
That's actually a fun fact about parrots.
I figured it was something along those lines, yeah.
We did it.
We did the episode.
Contest.
Yes, we got a contest. So today is the last day. The last day you can get in on this contest. We are announcing a winner, I believe, tomorrow.
Yeah.
When this airs tomorrow?
This is going to air
March 15th.
This airs March 15th.
And the winner
is typically March 16th. Come out the day before, but the official air date is March 15th.
Yeah.
So you've got some time.
Yeah. Roughly 24 hours.
Yeah.
Plus eight, maybe.
March 16th, we're ending the contest?
Yeah, March 16th.
Well, March 15th at 12:59:59 at the last time zone, right? So March 16th is the cutoff.
Yes, yes, okay. It is. Yes,
so yeah, it'll be Tuesday.
And we're giving away a copy or two copies of Candlekeep Mysteries, a book, an anthology of different mini adventures.
Nice.
And there's two ways to enter. There's one on Twitter and one on Instagram. If you want to enter our contest on Twitter for a chance to win this book, all you have to do is tweet out a link to your favorite episode of the show. Any podcast, any episode, but any podcast, host site.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's so many.
Yeah. Or the YouTube channel, whatever you prefer. Just add the hashtag DungeonCast and you'll be entered to win. We'll be announcing a winner on the 16th. If you want to enter on Instagram, talk to Brian.
Don't be scared. Get on the gram, find the post associated with the contest. Make sure you're following the account, like the post, and then start tagging people that you think would like the show in the comments below. One comment equals one entry as long as someone is tagged. Upward into infinity, probably. I don't know. Challenge yourself, I guess. The whole point is to tell people about the Dungeon Cast and to spread awareness of the show that it exists. And to get new followers of Team Gorgon, shout out to Team Gorgon. No worries. Do we got anything else we want to talk about here?
I don't think so.
I think we should do a contest in the future for just YouTube subscribers is something we should do. So be on the lookout for that because we have some YouTube only content coming out. So you can check out our YouTube channel and see some of the, we don't have a ton of exclusive YouTube content, but we've got some stuff that's, we think is cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you guys want to go and subscribe to all our shit, that'd be awesome. If you want to take an ad out for the show or just say hi, you can reach out to us on the dungeoncast@gmail.com. And you can talk to us there. Why am I thinking I had something I wanted to say here?
Patreon.
Patreon.com/DungeonCast. Come check out our work.
Twitter.
There's a lot of bonus content on there. You can get early episodes, access to episode notes.
New ads.
Yeah. Shit, man.
Yeah, I can't think of something that you'd want to say. Contest is done. That was the only like new thing we got going on.
Oh, I wanted to make a joke.
Okay, go ahead.
The day you won the Dungeon Cast contest was the greatest day of your
life.
Oh
my God.
To us, it was Tuesday.
We're calling it a game.
Bye.
The Dungeon Cast.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. Wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.